We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Notre Dame fans, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It is Monday. You know what that means. It's recruiting hour time. So my name is Brian Driscoll. I'm joined by my director of recruiting at Irish Breakdown, Ryan Roberts. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today, Ryan. It was a strange weekend, right? And we'll just kind of jump right into it. Justin Rhett decommitted from Notre Dame. And it was kind of an interesting 20-minute, 30-minute period. We got wind that he had decommitted, and we were both caught way off guard, Ryan, because, look, I'm just going to be honest with people. Like, a lot of times, we have an idea of what's going on. This is not one of those times. We did not see this one coming. And he was a guy that we always thought was really solid to Notre Dame, and so that's what really caught us off guard. And then we started doing some digging, and we found out that there was more to it than meets the eye. It's not an NIL situation, so I know that's everyone's go-to now. Every kid that Notre Dame doesn't get or decommits, it's NIL. That's the new boogeyman, right? It used to be the admissions department. Now it's the NIL. There's a lot more to it than that, Ryan. We'll just leave it at it's not a great fit. And so if you want to get the full scoop, we've got the update at Irish Breakdown on the premium message board, so that's where that kind of thing will be. It's a little bit of a touchy situation in regards to what it is. So that's why we put it behind our paywall aspect of it. So check that out. But sounds like it was kind of a mutual decision, right? Is the nice way of saying it, Ryan. However, the reason that he left, it's a loss. This is a loss for Notre Dame. Justin Rhett's a good football player. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't want people to misunderstand this, right? Like, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world type of situation when all is said and done, but it's definitely a loss. I mean, we've talked about Justin Rhett. He's a top 100 player in this in the 2023 class. We both think that he can have top 50 upside at the position as well. So he's a really talented player. He's a good football player right now with his with the best football ahead of him down the road. So he's a very good football player. It's a loss. Absolutely. Unfortunately, just some things just don't always work out, right? Like, it is unfortunate that it happened this way. It's unfortunate that that Notre Dame is in the position that they are now with the cornerback recruiting, because it was already not looking great as it currently stood, even with Justin Rhett in the class. But unfortunately, Justin Rhett's going to be a really good college player. It's just not going to be at Notre Dame, it seems.
Look, and I liked him. He was a top 150 kid on my current grade, but he's a legitimate top 100 talent. There's no question about it. And so this isn't going to be one of those things where it's like, well, you know, he's really not that good anyway. This was not a situation where Notre Dame decided to move on because they didn't think he was good or there's better players on the board necessarily. There's other guys on the board they like a lot, like just as much, but it's not about that. It's not about his talent and his ability. So that decision has been made. Justin announced it on Saturday. And so now Notre Dame is in a situation, right? And you talked about it is, you know, cornerback is an important position in this class. And the interesting thing is you look at Notre Dame and the board is very intriguing for some reasons that we'll discuss, but you know, this is a big year for Notre Dame at cornerback recruiting, but it's not the, – the nice thing is, the good thing is, the saving grace, so to speak, is that it's not a big numbers year for Notre Dame from a need standpoint, because you have three cornerbacks on the roster from the 2021 class. They all took red shirts last year. Then you have Jaden Mickey and Benjamin Morrison coming in, which in my opinion is my highest graded 1-2 punch of cornerback since, I mean, I'd probably have to go back to like Darren Walls and Rayshon McNeil, right? Back in like the 06 class. So very highly thought of duo. And then now it's like, you know, okay, now it's about impact talent more than numbers. So I believe we said early on that if they just get one guy, you can live with that, but you'd really like to have two. And I think the reason that's important to note now is because of the fact that right now, Ryan, there's three corners on the board. Two of them could very well end up being offensive players in college. And so that's what kind of makes it unique.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My wife likes to think of herself as a coffee expert. So when we decided to give Trade Coffees a try, she was excited to see what they had to offer. And we were not disappointed. After filling out a short quiz that matches you with just the right coffee, we received the Holmes blend from Sparrow's Coffee in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The Nostalgia Series blend that she received from Sparrow's Coffee made an immediate impression as soon as she opened the box. And once she brewed the Holmes blend the next morning, she was able to enjoy a rich, smooth cup of coffee with a very robust flavor. My wife is quite picky about her coffees, but you can be sure that she'll once again be buying from Sparrow's Coffee, and we'll be going back to Trade Coffee for another shot at getting a tasty blend from a regional company. You have to give Trade's Coffee a try. Trade's Coffee team actually tastes thousands of coffees to keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every day. There's no one perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you, and Trade's human-powered algorithm will find it. Trade is so confident they'll match you right the first time that if they don't, they'll take your feedback and an actual coffee expert will work with you to send a brand new bag for free. What we learned is that Trade Coffee send you freshly roasted beans from 60 of the country's best craft roasters. Small businesses who pay farmers fair prices to substantially source the greatest beans from around the world. Trade Coffee's experts personally taste over 450 roasts, so they know exactly what to recommend for you. Just answer a couple of questions, and you get your own personalized variety of coffees delivered fresh to you as soon as you like. No gimmicks. Trade delivers a fresh bag of roasted coffee as whole beans or ground for however you brew it at home. And they guarantee you'll love your first order or they'll replace it for free. Trade has delivered over 5 million bags of fresh coffee. And right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/Irish. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/Irish and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/Irish for $30 off. But let's just kind of go over the board, Ryan, and talk about the three guys that are on the board and where things stand. And I think the guy that we'll start it off with is the guy that they've just been on the longest, you know, at least publicly the longest, the guy that things seem to be in the best, not the best shape with, but where the consistency has been there. And that's Christian Gray from St. Louis, Missouri. He's from DeSmet Jesuit. Was a guy that a lot of people had crystal balled or forecasted or whatever the different things are now. The predictors had him to Notre Dame. recently, last couple months, Ryan, we haven't felt as great about that. It's an interesting one because if you talk to sources on one side, there's a lot of confidence in Notre Dame. Christian talked to Sean Davis this weekend, said all the right things about Notre Dame. But I just, Ryan, this is one where I don't feel as strong about Notre Dame's standing with Christian Gray as maybe some other people do. But you also talked to Christian. So yeah, you know, kind of what's the latest with him and where do you see things for Notre Dame and Christian Gray at the moment?
Yeah, I was interested to see Sean's conversation because he definitely got a different tone, I thought, from Christian's perspective than I personally did. You know, I got a chance to speak to him last week, and I have kind of been on the same wavelength with you that I think that Notre Dame was the absolute player at one point in this recruitment, and then it got slowed down, right? And then Ohio State started getting in the mix. LSU started getting into the mix. Some big programs started getting into the conversation with Christian Gray. And I am at the point now where I think that Notre Dame is not the leader. I think that they're coming from the back. I think that they're making a hard push. And I think that Christian Gray is definitely still excited and very, I mean, he likes Notre Dame and he likes to have the conversations. He likes the coaches. He says all the right things, like I said, but I am just under the impression from my conversation that I don't think that this is a foregone conclusion that they are number one for Justin Rett. I think that this is going to be a fight until the end. I do agree with that, but I think that they're fighting from behind right now. I don't think that this is something where you feel great about if you're Notre Dame, but I do think that other schools have just gotten into the mix. So now this is a questionable one at most for me right now. I think that they're in the group, but I definitely don't think that they're the leader like some people do.
So here's kind of the interesting thing that I've been able to gather kind of talking to different people, Ryan, is that Notre Dame, you know, I think that Notre Dame's confidence is more in the long game. And from talking to some different people this weekend, I feel like staff is aware. My concern is the staff was unaware. I thought the staff was kind of going to get caught off guard and that they don't see LSU and Ohio State, especially LSU, because his former high school coach is there being the threat that we see him being. So, you know, I reached out to a few people this weekend and they're aware. So that was the thing, is they're very aware. It's just, I think they're kind of playing the long game here. And one of the things I've talked to a few different sources, you know, that know people on the staff and things like that. I think the one thing that part of the reason I believe that confidence is because this staff has a different approach in that nobody's going to stop recruiting Notre Dame's commits when they commit. So why should they stop recruiting other people's commits if they want those guys? That made me happy to hear that, you know. So, but again, flipping guys is not an easy task, but it's nice that they're going to stay on it. But I'm with you. It'd be nice to see it. I think the fact that he came for a one-day trip in the middle of April when he's going to spring games and these other things is another thing that just kind of adds up to it. Because at the end of the day, Ryan, I don't really care what he says to people. I'm an actions person at this point in time. I mean, Amorian Walker told Notre Dame for months that he was all Notre Dame. And what do we say then? Believe it when I see it, right? And so this is one where I'm just not as confident, but they're battling. And he made a comment to you that I thought was that number one showed that we're right on our read of this situation, but also was an encouraging one. And it was one it was kind of at the very end of your article about the trajectory for Notre Dame in his recruitment.
So I was just going to say in the piece on Irish Breakdown, if you want to go take a look, I put it out last week after I talked to Christian. Basically, kind of the whole gist of it on the board was the fact that he has been assumed to be at the top of Notre Dame. Notre Dame has been at the top of his board for a long time. That is the perception from a lot of people. The reality is that he literally said they're moving up in the group for him, right? So that tells you, first and foremost, you can't move up if you're at the top, right? Like that's pretty much common sense there. So that tells me other people are definitely in the conversation. So they are moving up, which is a positive sign, like Brian said, but that definitely does still illustrate the fact that they are not number one.
You can't move up if you're number one.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the reality of it. So it did kind of confirm that aspect of it, but I did find, and then that was followed 2 or 3 days later by him saying even more glowing things to Sean about Notre Dame. So that obviously was a positive. And so clearly Christian Gray is a guy that the staff likes. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a kid that's got really good length for someone listed at 5'11", 6 foot. We've seen some strange things with Christian Gray. We've seen him listed anywhere from 5'11" to over 6'1". You know, we saw Ohio State had him, you know, on his, at their camp this past summer as a 4'41", 4'42". I don't see that kind of speed on film, but he's a really smooth, fluid, smart cornerback. It's good. I mean, legit top 150 caliber player to me, Ryan. And you know, a guy that I understand why the staff likes him. I do. Right. I don't think he's a great player, but I think he's another good football player that would help continue to just bolster a position group that needs to continue to be bolstered.
Yeah, I think his baseline is good, right? Like, again, you say he comes from a good school, obviously, out there in St. Louis. He's played a lot of football. He's very technically sound for his age. So I think there's a lot of good things. And like you said, the length is solid there. I agree. I don't quite see 4.4 flat speed like that Ohio State, right, you know, camp had said. But I think he has solid enough speed. Like, I think he has a smooth overall athletic profile. So I think there's a good baseline for him being a good corner on the next level. But I personally, compared to some of the other players on the board, and even Justin Rett that just decommitted, like, I just don't see the upside with Christian Gray. Right. I think he's a good player, a top 200 player. Absolutely. I don't know if I see number one corner type of makeup, right, with him. I think he's a really solid number two on the next, right, level.
But I think that's an upgrade for what we've seen. Like, to me, he's an intriguing player. So he's a guy that I'm really curious to see how he does as a senior, to see if that speed that he supposedly has shows up on film. Because sometimes kids are really fast. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't necessarily show up on film, and then eventually it does.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the number two guy on this list. And it's not number two in order of preference. It's just kind of, we're just kind of saying that, kind of going on like more of a time frame of how long they've been considered in the game. It's a very intriguing player. And this is where we kind of get into some interesting discussion. And that is Micah Tees from Tulsa, Oklahoma, goes to Booker T. Washington High School. If you're a longtime Notre Dame fan like myself, you'll remember that Notre Dame got a couple dudes from Booker T. Washington back in the day with the last name Brooks. Tony Brooks and obviously Reggie Brooks were both from Booker T. in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So there's obviously a connection there. Very, very interesting recruitment, Ryan, in that this is a young man who seemed like Oklahoma was going to be the team to beat. The latest things that we're hearing is that maybe Oklahoma isn't as locked in as people thought. They want him to play safety. They're pretty dead set on that. He wants at least a shot on offense and more of a corner view, which has allowed other programs, including Notre Dame, to sneak in. So this is a really intriguing recruitment, Ryan, and a guy that I know that you're super high. I like him a lot too. I know, but you're super high on Micah Tees.
Yeah, no, I love Micah because I think that athletic profile, I think he's a really explosive player. I think he has great ball skills, which is why a lot of programs do like him on the offensive side of the football. And the first time I talked to him, Brian, I know we talked about this before, I thought Notre Dame was running a clear second when I talked to him, right? Like, I thought, like you did, and like we have both thought for a while now, I thought Oklahoma was just going to be really tough to beat in this one, because getting a kid out of Booker T, out of the state of Oklahoma, is just going to be tough in general, especially when you're talking about now going all the way over to South Bend, Indiana. So it just didn't seem like it was going to be an easy pull for Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is now is I talked to someone close on the Oklahoma recruiting side of things, and they told me exactly what you just illustrated, right? He wants to play offense. He does. Like, it just point blank, he wants to have a shot to play offense. Oklahoma is very particular, and they are very, you're going to play defensive back if you come here, and that's all you're going to play. They're not offering him an opportunity to play on the offensive side of the football. Notre Dame has opened up the option as an athlete. We would like you at corner, ideally, but we will offer you an opportunity to play wide receiver. So you have that athlete title next to your name. So he has an option. That's why I think now, Brian, if Oklahoma is truly out of the race, and it seems like they are, because I was told that Oklahoma is not moving off of it. They're not like changing their perspective. They're not changing their recruitment. They literally said, we take you as a defensive back, or we don't take you, basically, right? So if Oklahoma's out of the picture, I think Notre Dame has a really good chance here. I really do. Because I don't know, besides for Oklahoma and Notre Dame, when I talked to them last time, I don't know if there's a number three. I don't know if there's a team that's like, right, clear next guy for Mike and T. So I think Notre Dame's in a great spot. I think Notre Dame has gotten, and Brian can attest to this. I text him. I'm like, that's a great move by Notre Dame, putting the athlete title next to him, man, giving him that option. Because,
and we're told it's legitimate, Ryan. Like, that's the thing. Like, if he's dead set on playing offense, they will give him that opportunity. And and it's not a thing where it's like, oh, well, we'll let you. It was more of a, offensive coach is like, sure, if he wants, you know what I mean? So it would be a legitimate opportunity if he so chooses. But they have also told him that they think his future is best at corner. And I tend to agree. I mean, it's kind of like, look, with a lot of other guys, like there's a lot of players that are his size with good athleticism at receiver. There aren't a lot of kids that, to me, that have his kind of potential at corner. And that's just a position of greater need. We're seeing more and more kids wanting to play offense these days because of, you know, I think NIL's part of it, because receivers are more – offensive players just tend to be more known and get the love and the respect and all that other kind of stuff, right? I mean, you're not seeing a lot of people putting Nico deals out for middle linebackers or free safeties, unfortunately. And so – I get it, and some kids just like having the ball, but his upside is still greater at corner. And I do like the fact, and I think it's going to help them, that Notre Dame has been honest with them. I think kids – look, vast majority of kids, just be honest with me and just tell me the truth. And I actually respect what Oklahoma's doing here. If what we're being told is accurate, I respect it. Don't lie to the kid to get him there and then switch him as soon as he gets there. I respect saying, hey, look, we don't see you there. We see you here.
Sure.
And so when Notre Dame tells him he can do both, that's always my first question is, okay, are they just telling him that to make him happy? But then you talk to people and you find out like, no, they could see him helping on offense too. It's really about where does he want to play? And then the board will have to fit accordingly.
Right. Well, I think it's a really good idea because, I mean, I personally I liked Mike Atiz's wide receiver film. I think he could be a really good wide receiver on the college level, but I do agree. I think the upside is higher at corner, because when you start talking about that, those ball skills, that body control, that speed, that explosiveness at cornerback for a guy that's had the split time at both, I think when he settles in at one position, and especially, he's going to kind of take a massive step forward. And I think that cornerback just kind of presents a little bit of a higher upside for him. So I think Notre Dame is going to be in a good position here. Now, obviously, they have to close. There's going to be other programs that are going to try to get into this, especially, I mean, because we're talking about this right now. As soon as Oklahoma's out of the picture, now you're feeling a little better about your chances. I think other programs are going to say that now, too. Like, let's make a harder push, because we thought that may have been
a foregone conclusion.
Right. So I think that it has opened up opportunity, and I think that Notre Dame has as good a chance as anybody for Mike Atiz right now. And he's been on campus multiple times before, not one time, not two times, several times. So I think that they have a good chance here. And I mean, his upside is not quite to that of Justin Rett, but it would certainly soften the blow a little bit if you're able to get Mike Atiz, who I didn't think was much of a possibility at one point. So,
right. We did get a super chat here from Brandon DeSanti. Thank you for that, Brandon. Appreciate it very, very much. He has another super chat later, Ryan, that we will get to when we get to the Q&A session, because it is about the Notre Dame running backs on the current team. So we will get to that, Brandon, but I did want to pull up that super chat and thank you for that as well. Ryan, there's another kid on the board that we're kind of having him last for a couple reasons for me, and that number one is because he's most recent on the board. They didn't offer him till, what was it, March 17th? It's like barely over a month ago. You broke the news last night that he has actually already set an official visit to Notre Dame, June 10th. That is Micah Bell from Houston, Texas, Kincaid High School. He's an intriguing kid, Ryan, because I'd never heard of the kid till Notre Dame offered him. Just because, my focus is kind of up to this point in time is usually just on the board for Notre Dame. As over the next couple months, as we get closer to the SI99 rankings, I'll start looking more and more just the whole nation when it comes to breaking down recruits and things along those lines. But, he's an intriguing player because you look at the ranking, you see 3-star from Rivals and all these other things, and you're just like, okay, well, this is interesting. Like, why did Notre Dame offer him? Because they've already got Justin Rett in the class at the time. People thought Christian Gray was in a great spot. Micah Teague, they're making a move on and that kind of thing. So when you look at Micah Bell's film, the first thing you see, Ryan, is wow. Like, I looked at the film before I looked at the track numbers. Like, because that's my thing. I saw the film. I was like, I bet you this kid runs track. This kid is explosive. Mm-hmm. Ryan. Speed for days.
Well, we talked about if Christian Gray's 4.4 flat may be legit. I'll tell you what, Micah Bell might be if you told me he ran that fast, man. Because
if Christian Gray's a 4.41, Micah Bell's a 4.28.
Right. I mean, man,
that's not a knock on Christian Gray. He's a good football player. This kid can flat out fly.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get a little bit of insight because I'm curious if some teams like him more at running back or as a slot receiver. Because like you said, Brian, I mean, he's mostly a running back and return specialist for his team. I mean, he had only had like 18 total tackles last year and no interceptions, but he's a dominant running back, over 8 yards a carry. Also a kick returner and has some impressive numbers in that department. And I mean, that speed translates on film. And then you look at the track numbers, you're like, that's verified, right? Like 10, mm-hmm. 10, 6, 1. I think you said it was a 10, 3, 4, 8, 8.
He actually has a higher time than that. The 10, 6 is not his best time anymore. He has a 10, 3 something aided, but he actually about two and a half, 3 weeks ago mm-hmm. had a 10, 4, 6 at an event this spring.
It's great.
That
time.
Was his new personal record. So that actually updated within the last few days. Because when I looked at his times about a week and a half ago, Ryan, it was the 10.6 was considered his personal best. He's had some March numbers added to his file now, and he now has a 10.46. Not the win aided 10.3 from last year, a 10.46.
Yeah.
That is absolutely smoking. And his 100-meter dash time and his 200-meter dash time, just for context, are both, I believe, both faster. The 100 is definitely faster. I think the 200 is also faster than what Troy Pride was as a junior at Greer High School in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And if y'all don't know, he was a 4.4 flat kid who ran track at Notre Dame, and Troy Pride mm-hmm. was. So this kid can absolutely fly. Now, I think the one thing I wrote in the article, I did an article, I've done kind of two articles talking about these guys in different forms. But the thing that I wrote in the article today, where we talked about the two-way players for Notre Dame, which will be a topic of a soon-to-be film breakdown session, is that a lot of these kids tend to look better on offense early in their careers because offense is a more natural position for young people. It's moving forward. It's just, you know, it's what you do growing up, right? You usually put the best athlete at, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old at running back. And so the defensive part for these two-way players tends to come later. Right. And that's the thing is whether you're talking about Ronan Hannifin, whether you're talking about Micah Tees, we've talked about Micah Bell or Jeremiah Love, all of them are more natural now on offense. Ronan Hannifin is probably the best defensive player now of the group. But when you look at a kid like Micah Bell, he screams corner, 5'11", long arms, 165 pounds, physical, but not big, and just tremendous, tremendous speed and good ball skills. I mean, he doesn't play. We don't have a ton of film of him playing corner. But the film we have, the kid can move. So,
oh, for sure.
Highest ceiling of all the guys on this board, in my opinion, as a pure corner. And here's the one thing. One thing I know of, I don't know what position he's going to play, offense or defense. I love him on defense. There's one position we know he's going to play in college. Returner.
Kick returner, yeah. right. Yeah.
Kick and punt returner. I don't care if he's corner, free safety, strong safety, nose guard. Wherever he's going to play, kid's going to return kicks.
For sure.
And he is dynamic. The only kid I've seen with better football speed than him in the last 7, 8 years that Notre Dame has recruited is Chris Tyree. And it's mm-hmm. close. It's close. This kid can flat out run.
Well, I'm glad you said something about the arm length, Brian, because I wanted to actually verify that with you, because I actually thought his length was pretty good considering he's only 5'11 or whatever
kid,
it is.
Yeah. Long arms. You can see when he's holding the ball too, Ryan, because like he's like engulfing that thing. You know, he's got the length. There's no doubt about it.
And I have real high upside with him at corner because not only can he run, one thing that I thought too is I thought he had really good stop start. Like I thought he was incredibly explosive. Then you look at the track again, 23.6 in the long jump last year too. So this kid's an explosive football player in general. So what are the chances Notre Dame has with him? I mean, we're hearing that Notre Dame is like he's definitely interested in Notre Dame. I talked to him. I got the same vibe. This is going to be his second time on campus this June 10th visit. So we still have some time until he takes the visit. So we'll see what happens with him. But he's definitely an interesting player that Notre Dame has only offered most recently in March. So a guy new to the board, but Notre Dame likes him. I mean, he told me that they talk to him every single week. So he's not, I how high of a priority is. I think he's definitely a take from everything that I'm kind of gathering position.
From what I gathered this weekend, they would take all three of those guys that we talked about today because there is the position. Like, and honestly, if you get all three, it makes it easier to move a Micah Tease to receiver at that point in time if he wants to play there. So my understanding is they would take all three.
Yeah. And I mean, I would take him too, because like you said, Christian Gray, we may not be as high on when you talked about the upside kind of conversation with him, but if he gives you that baseline, if you're able to get a guy like a Christian Gray, and then you could take a guy like a Micah Bell who has substantially higher upside, but maybe isn't ready to play a college football early on, at least on the defensive side of the football, it's huge. Yeah. And
he's the best defense. He's the best corner now.
Right.
Christian Gray, without question, is the best corner on the board now. Corner.
Agree.
Now, those other guys have higher upside, but I kind of feel like I am sometimes a little too hard on Christian Gray. And I think some of my reaction is more about in response to what others have said about him, you know, like his times and stuff, more so than him. He's a good football player. And I think I need to be careful about how I talk about him because, as I said, I grade this kid out as a top 150 football player. That's a good football player, especially a cornerback for Notre Dame. You know, that's a kid that can play. So that's probably on me sounding a little bit harsher on him than probably I should. It's just more about like the reaction to Ohio State saying he's a 4-4-1, et cetera, et cetera. Look, right. Ryan Barnes isn't a 4-4-1, and I love that kid, right? Jaden Mickey's not a 4-4-1. Benjamin Morrison's probably not that kind of speed. Love those kids. So that's really where a lot of my negative kind of feel comes. It's not about Christian as a player. He's a good football player. He's a top 150 kid. And if that 4-4-1 speed that Ohio State had on his thing starts showing up on film, his ranking skyrockets because he's very fluid. And and as I said, he's by far the most instinctive defensive player on the board, left on the board. And that included Justin Rhett. I mean, as far as just being a natural defensive player, Christian Gray plays offense. He does. There's no question, however, what side of the ball he's best at, and that's defense. So that is the one thing I did want to make sure that we got clear about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys that are on the board are really, really nice all-around athletes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're all – like, I just want this to be kind of, you know, put into the universe a little bit. Like, Micah Bell is incredibly fast. I think Micah Tease is fast as well, not nearly to that degree. But they're all they're both actually also quick twitch players. So like, don't get this twist that these are just straight line athletes.
Why they're good with the ball in their hands and why they project to play offense.
Exactly. So I like Micah Bell a ton. I didn't know what to expect from him because, like you said, Brian, the rankings are all over the place. I mean, 3-star on some accounts, and I think he's like 120 something on three, if I remember, or 24/7.
3-star.
Right. So it's all over the place on him, man. I would say he's a high upside athlete. There's no doubt about it. And his production kind of backs that up. I mean, I could see him playing as a offensive just playmaker, right?
Like, he's just don't so give a small. Name. That's the, like, he's thin for that side of the ball, in my opinion. Like, that would be my thing about that. So I would be curious to see how that kind of plays out. But I think Christian Gray, too, is Christian Gray lacks the explosiveness of those other players. He's probably got the loosest hips of all of them, I would argue. However, I think if I was to rate, like, just transition ability, to be Gray, Tease, Bell would be my order of that. Now, the thing I'm not sure of with Micah Bell is his transition tightness more of a technical thing or a hips thing? And there's just not enough film that I've been able to find yet, Ryan, to determine the difference. But the thing is it doesn't really matter because once he gets turned, he can freaking run. So that kid can fly. So I think that the dream scenario for Notre Dame at this point in time, Ryan, would be that they get all three, I think, at this point in time.
And I loved your piece recently, Brian, about two-way stars, right? Yeah. Like, it was so funny. I messaged Brian yesterday and I was like, Get Notre Dame, get Micah Tease, get Micah Bell, get Ronan Hanifin, get Jeremiah Love, and just figure it out, man. Just let these athletes be athletes.
And it's funny you should say that. I have an article coming out on that tomorrow. But it is interesting, and it reminds me of, I mean, you know what I hope it is, Ryan? This is a little bit off subject. You know what I hope it is? I hope it's a the beginning of us going back to the way it used to be. Like everybody says, you can't ever go back to the way it used to be. And some, in a lot of ways, I'm cool with that, right? Like, the way it used to be had some great things, but it's some not good things, you know, like, and, but with football, I want to see more kids. We've talked about this. I want to get away from specialists as much as possible. Now, look, there's some high schools where it works. It's fine. You know, because there's just, the high school is so big that there's just other corners that are better on defense than your receivers and running backs, right? That's a different story, right? But I want to get back to seeing more Micah Teases and Ronan Hannafins and Micah Bells and guys like that. Christian Gray, who also plays offense.
Right.
Because I want to see more kids playing both sides of the ball. And I think, I mean, and Lou Holtz, I mean, I was – so it's kind of funny. I went and I'm going through Notre Dame's recruiting classes during the Holtz era, and I'm just kind of writing them all down so I have them and everything. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, some of these guys that they had listed at run at, you know, running back. Like I'm looking at it, and I'm going to pull it up here real quick because it was kind of funny to kind of look through these. But it's like some of the guys they had listed at running back, you know, when they were coming up in their careers. Obviously, Ricky Waters was listed as a running back, and then he moved to receiver. You look at Jeff Burris; he was listed as a as a running back when he was coming out of Notre Dame, right? There was one year where they had like they signed like six or seven running backs. Well, they didn't sign all those guys to play running back. I'm looking at it right now, and it was the 1987 class: Tony Brooks, Lincoln Riley, Greg Davis, Ryan Mahalko, Ricky Waters. That's five guys right there that were signed to play running back.
Yeah.
Which they had like Todd Light listed as a receiver, in at the time, and it just goes to show like back then like guys were just. They were just two-way players. This is kind of how it went. And so I'd like to see that come back. I think that's good for young people's development. I think it helps their football mind when they can see the game from both sides of the ball. I'll tell you one thing. When I played receiver in college, playing quarterback helped me be better at that position because you knew how the game was thought. I knew what the quarterback wanted to do. I think that's the same thing when you're talking about the other position. Like, I know what goes in the mind of a receiver. How do you know? Because I played it. I had to think like it and vice versa. So I'm hoping this is the beginning of this becoming a more regular occurrence. But if it's not, then this is a really unique year in that you've got four guys that, and we included Jeremiah Love in the article as well, along with Ronan Hannafin, in that these are guys that could not only just play both sides of the ball, but be good on both sides of the ball. And that's the unique thing about it. And of course the cornerback position is especially affected by that because you do have two guys who could be impact guys on offense.
Well, and I looked just recently too, Brian, like when we're talking about the cornerback position at Notre Dame, who are some of the best corners that they have seen in recent years? You talk about Cam Hart, who's a wide receiver to begin his career, right?
Was recruited to be. Yeah, absolutely.
Julian Love was a fantastic running back out of the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. Kavari Russell, obviously, that's an easy one.
Kavari Russell was signed to play running back.
Exactly.
Like Julian Love was a really good running back, but he was never recruited to play there, right? Kavari was signed with the thought he was going to play running back, and if it wasn't for Low Wood getting hurt, for those who may not remember, that's where he was going to start his career. So, yes, you are absolutely correct on that, Ryan.
Yep. I mean, I love guys that can play both sides of the football, man. Because again, especially a cornerback, usually that shows ball skills, right? Reactionary quickness. Like, there's a lot of things that translate to that side of the football. So
that's something, Ryan. I'm gonna say this. That's something that makes me think that Clarence Lewis could has another gear in him as a player because he was a pretty good receiver in high school, and that's why I've been surprised how just he doesn't play the ball well as a corner. Which surprises me when you go back and watch his high school film. He was a pretty good wide receiver in high school for a really, really good New Jersey football team. So that's something that makes me think like maybe it is he's thinking about his technique. He's thinking about a lot of other things as he transitions into corner. And as he matures, now he's going to be a junior. Maybe there is another leap in there for him. We'll have to find out about that. But
well, let's hope so, man. New Jersey guys, yeah, you know, always yeah, no surprise you.
Some other recruiting news, Ryan, before we dive into the Q&A. And that is Braylon James. So a lot of people are confused about Braylon put a tweet out last night talking about, he just said 3 p.m., you know, tomorrow, 3 p.m. That's not in reference to him changing his commitment time. That is something else he's got going on. Braylon is still planning on making his announcement tomorrow night. So that'd be Tuesday night. I believe the commitment's going to happen sometime around 7:30 Eastern, be 6:30 Central. We'll probably go live around 7, just to kind of preview things and talk about things and all that. But I just did want to mention Ryan, because there has been a lot of questions about his tweet that is not in reference to him changing his commitment date. But, you know, in advance of that, we'll talk a lot more about that tomorrow night. But I did want to mention it here because this is one that potentially, if things go well for Notre Dame, obviously tomorrow night, that it could be the thing that maybe sparks this role that Notre Dame really needs to get on. Because it's amazing that the number one class in the country has so much negative vibes about it from its fan base right now. It's still the number one ranked class in the country, but it's because they haven't gotten a kid in a while. And so that assumes that that's a negative. But as I've tried to tell people, a lot of schools haven't gotten kids in a while.
Yeah.
And so it's just let it play out.
Yeah, you got to let it play out. I mean, for the fans out there, I get it. Like, every time there's a decommitment or there hasn't been a commitment in a while, I understand it. But I saw someone on the board a couple days ago, Brian, after Justin Redd had decommitted, that said Mike Mickens is not recruiting well. And I'm just like, didn't they just get Benjamin Morrison and Jaden Mickey last year? Like,
and we have I'm going to hold off on responding to that because there's actually a question about that I wanted to address that during the Q&A session. But yeah, it's just folks, take a deep breath. Okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. So hopefully tomorrow we'll find out what Braylon James is doing. But it's interesting because we were having there's a battle going on the message boards about people saying, like, you know, now that it's clear that Cardinal Tate's not coming to Notre Dame, well, I liked Braylon James anyway. And then other people are like, you're just saying that because Brandon's. And I'm like, well, in fairness, myself included, there were plenty of people on the message board 3 weeks ago when we had this conversation, when we all thought Notre Dame had a great shot at Cardinal, that said, I think Braylon James may have more upside. And, you know, and obviously that's a debate that we can have, because some people say Cardinal Tate, some people will say Tyler Williams. And I think there's merit to all of it. But the fact of the matter is, this is a talented kid with a lot of upside and a great fit at Notre Dame. So you'd think that Notre Dame comes in. We've liked where Notre Dame has stood for a long time, but, you know, we'll have to find out tomorrow just exactly where things stand. But this if Notre Dame's able to get Braylon in the class, this would be a big one. This would be a big one for the Irish.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a sigh of relief, obviously, from the fan base perspective. And also, it might be a little like a push for, like, hey, you know, Dante Moore, if you want to come to Notre Dame, things are heading in the right direction, man. You just got a really talented pass catcher out of the state of Texas. And, of course, when we talk about this, we're going to talk the Braylon James commitment specifically. We're going to talk a lot about, you know, getting into Texas, getting on the wide receiver board. There's a lot of layers to that commitment, and it's going to make you feel better. I mean, and honestly, we have not had a commitment, obviously, since Preston Zinter. So it's been a little bit of time here. So it's going to be exciting times if Notre Dame's able to land Braylon James. We feel good about it, but ultimately we'll see tomorrow.
So, Ryan, we have some updates, too, because Ryan has been grinding all day. Actually, he texted me last night, like, hey, sorry to interrupt you on Easter, but I got a Micah Bell update that I need to put on the site. And I'm like, man, this guy's working on Easter. love this guy. But got two updates today on the site. Well, one, they're both on the message board already. One is on the front page of the site. The other will go up later. And you've had a chance to talk to Rodney Gallagher and Monroe Freeling. These are two huge recruits for Notre Dame. They'll both be on campus this weekend. You had a chance to talk with both of them. Let's stay at receiver right away. And obviously Rodney Gallagher is going to be making his first ever trip to Notre Dame this weekend. And that is a big one, Ryan, because this is a kid that is incredibly high up on the board for Notre Dame. And this visit's going to tell us, we were kind of talking about, you know, I'm not super optimistic on this one. I just don't have a good feel for Rodney Gallagher yet. And your response was, let's see how the visit goes first, right? Because that's the big thing, is we don't know, because he's never been. And we have a much better idea coming out of the visit if Notre Dame's going to be a legitimate big-time player for him, or if they're just, you know, there's other schools that are just going to be ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've talked a lot about the fact that due to basketball season and his team making the playoff run that it did, that the recruitment just in general process was kind of put on the back burner a little bit for Rodney. So he didn't start taking visits until this weekend. I mean, not this weekend. So he's been flooding, though, the visit trails this month. He's been going everywhere. You know, he's had visits to a lot of different schools, a lot of different spots.
Ohio State this past weekend, and he doesn't even offer from Ohio State yet.
Right, right. So he's doing his due diligence this month. He basically told me, just the easiest way to put it is, April is his test period, right? Like, he wants to go to a bunch of different schools. He wants to figure out, you know, how he kind of meshes with some campus life, with the coaches, players, all that good stuff. And then he's going to kind of make his decision next month as far as what do officials look like, what's the next step, and he's going to start to really trim down that list quickly. Right. So this is going to happen very quickly, and April is a big month, obviously, for Gallagher's recruitment just in general.
And I think he already has a couple officials already set up. I think he set up an official to Oklahoma State, and mm-hmm. I think he set one up for Pitt, I believe, is the other one. I'd have to go back and look at it. But he set a couple official visits up here earlier this week, but there's still several to make up. And obviously Notre Dame would love to get him back on campus for an official. And I think if things go well this weekend, Ryan, we'll get word pretty quickly about him setting up an official visit for Notre Dame. So that'll be a key indicator, in my opinion.
Yeah. And he's been grinding the trails more than people think I grind in the chat section.
I right make sure now. People understood Ryan grinds harder than Brian Kelly on recruiting, but he doesn't grind like Brian Kelly in recruiting. So yeah. completely different types of grinding. One's appropriate, that'd be Ryan's type. The other, not appropriate, that's be. It's like you know what I think it is? I think it's my fault, everybody. It's actually my fault what Brian Kelly is now doing at LSU, because I kept hammering him for years about he's not grinding hard enough on a recruiting trail, and I think he misunderstood me. And, you know, sometimes older guys, they get out of, you know, they don't know what words mean nowadays. And I think he took that in a completely different direction. So that's my fault. I blame that. That's my fault, Coach Kelly, for coercing you into grinding on a teenage boy on a recruiting visit. So that's on me. I take responsibility for that. So there's another big time recruit coming on campus this weekend, Ryan, and that is Monroe Freeling. Mm-hmm. This is the best left tackle on the board for Notre Dame, and this is going to be a huge, 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 huge weekend. So let's talk about what's the latest with Monroe Freeling.
Yeah, I mean, we felt pretty good. We've been feeling pretty good about where things are as far as them being near the top of the list for Notre Dame for a while, right? And I think that I feel, and I have continued to feel really good about where Monroe Freeling is in regards to Notre Dame. It's kind of been viewed as this ultimately might be a Clemson-Notre Dame battle. And I think personally that Notre Dame is maybe running 1A. I think that they're right neck to neck. Like, I don't think that there's a clear leader in either direction. So I think they're in a good spot just going into it. And I think that, honestly, it has been improved since Harry Hiestand has come aboard. Because I think that he liked Jeff Quinn, but I think he's very impressed with Harry Hiestand. And Harry Hiestand made it a very early priority. I need to get out to see this kid. I need to go to a school. I need to see him play basketball. I need to keep in touch. And I mean, they're in frequent conversation, and he's been on campus pretty recently. And now he's going to make it there this weekend for the Blue Gold game, obviously. But he informed me that him and his mom are flying out Thursday because they want multiple days there. They don't want to just come in for Saturday for the game. They want to be there with the coaches, with the team, see everything, right? They want to really get an in-depth look and in-depth conversations with this staff. So I think that's huge, man. That's a huge first step and a positive step, really positive. The second positive, if you're on the board, I already put an update on this earlier. He's already set up his official visit to Notre Dame for the June 10th to 12th weekend, which is going to be a big weekend for Notre Dame. So that's going to be three visits when he goes in June. And since the beginning
less of, than
since
6
the end
months.
Of January. Yeah.
Yeah. Less than 6, because his first visit was January 29th.
Yeah.
So his third would be June. So yeah, I like where Notre Dame is at. And I feel like this is one where I this visit's going to be big. I think Notre Dame's lost a little bit of the perceived momentum simply because he's been to other places. But I think this is the weekend that you can get it all back.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And so it'll be like you said, actions speak louder than words, right? That's what we always say. You know, kids say one thing. Well, what we were a little bit concerned about Christian Gray only taking a 1-day trip to Notre Dame. Well, this is a complete opposite. This is a kid that's going to be in town minimum 3 days. That's assuming they leave after the visit and don't wait till Sunday to fly out. I would imagine they're probably going to wait till Sunday to fly out. So, you know, fly in Thursday, probably fly out either Saturday night or Sunday. So this is a big one for Notre Dame.
Yeah, and I mean, just a little bit of context. Monroe has kind of disclosed that he is going to take his time with this recruitment, right? Like, it might bleed into his senior season. Yeah. Right. Exactly. But I mean, we talked before the show, those things can change very quickly, but just for some context where it currently stands, that's kind of the timeline. But
he's not coming in this weekend thinking if it goes well, you're going to get a commitment. That's right. Not what we're thinking. Look, anything can happen. That's not what we're thinking at this point in time. But, you know, as I told you when we were discussing it, you know, Tobias Merriweather was saying the same thing last year too. He was talking about, I'm going to wait till my senior season. CJ Williams had been talking about that, and they all, you know, Tobias obviously committed in what, July, something like that.
Yeah.
So those things can change, but the other thing too is they gotta get a couple linemen into class to speed that process up, because right now there's no reason for any of these linemen to make a decision because they have zero linemen in the class. So, right. You know, if they could get a Sam Pendleton and Austin Saraveld or both in the class, that might help. Like, hey, look, we love you, but we got to know where things stand. But I think this visit could be one of the things that maybe can be that for Monroe. But, you know, I like the fact that he's coming in with – I like the fact when kids are thinking, I want this to be a longer-term thing, because I feel like if they then decide to change that, it's because something was just so, like, certain that I have to do this. Whereas kids that kind of put themselves on an arbitrary early timeline can kind of maybe rush into a decision. And, you know, that's kind of how that can go from time to time. So that is where things stand. And, Ryan, we'll have tons of updates all week. So if you're not on the message board, you need to be on it. Ryan's going to get all the updates on it. We've got tons of kids. Sean just sent me his Christian Gray story, so I'll get that up here in a little bit as well. But Ryan's going to have a ton of stuff. We'll have a full Monroe Freeling with all the different quotes and all those different things from that interview here coming up after the show is over as well. So definitely stay locked into the message board. And so that's going to conclude the recruiting hour of our show a little bit earlier, but that's going to allow us to transition right into the Daily Mailbag.